Hallelujah. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for this opportunity which you have given us to appear before your presence, Lord. I thank you because you are in our midst. The Bible says that when we gather two or three, you are in our midst, my God. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of life which you have given us, my God, to be here. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Ghost, Lord. We thank you because, Lord, you love us, my God. We give you praise, we give you glory and honor. Father, we call upon your Spirit to come and take over right now. Open up our understanding, Lord. Touch our spiritual ears to hear from you. Quicken our spirits, my God, to understand what you want us to understand, Father. Have your way in our midst. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to thank God for another opportunity which he has given me to come and stand before you. And I'm glad because I'm back again. I want to bring greetings from Uganda. They love you. My wife and the entire church, they know that I'm here. And they're praying for you. And they love you. And today I have a topic. But that topic I'm going to first ask questions. Then after those questions, then we'll start from there. The question, number one, it says, why God called Abraham? The question number two, why God saved you? Question number three, why are you not dead? Let me repeat those questions. Question number one, why God called Abraham? Question number two, why God saved you? Question number three, why are you not dead? Because each and every minute we have people who are dying. But why are you not among those who are dying? I don't think that you can protect yourself from dying, but why are you still living? And we have a lot of people who are dying. You're not living because you are horrid than anybody. But why are you living? Why God still protecting you? We have millions and millions of people who are not born again. Right. Why are you born again? Why are you not among of those millions which are not born again? But why you? I want to have answers before we go on. Why God called Abraham? Why God saved you? Why are you not dead? I need people to come and give me their answers. If you're ready, come on microphone, I give it to you, then you answer me. Why you are not dead? Why God saved you? I'm waiting for my answers. You're welcome. Now you're asking me who's Abraham. Okay. That means if you don't know him, it's very difficult to answer that question.
Well, Moses was a stutter.
Moses is Moses and Abraham is Abraham. Okay. They are different.
Why did he save Abraham then? I don't know.
Yeah, now you cannot answer that question. Okay.
That question. What about the other question?
Answer that second one.
Usually, let me give this a shout about Abraham. I am sure he was not high in life. He was not a king, or he was not, Abraham, the covenant that he made, God did with Abraham to carry on through life was with somebody of low esteem. I'm sure he wasn't a proud man. He probably was a farmer or a sheep herder or somebody that wasn't,
Just answer the second question.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Why did God save you?
Why did he save me? Mm-hmm. Because he knew me in my mother's womb. He knew me beforehand. He knew that the opportunity was going to be presented to me for me to either accept Jesus Christ as
I want also the other people to hear your answers.
Well, he knew me in my mother's womb. He knew me from the beginning of time. He knew that I would accept the invitation to accept the Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. Now, instead of rejecting him, that's why I'm alive today, the third question. Okay. Because I accepted him as my Savior, and then through him, I gained life. So I am in spiritual life, not in spiritual death.
So why are you born again? Billions are not born again. Why are you born again?
Because I simply accepted Jesus for what he did for me.
Okay.
Simple as that.
Okay.
What he did for me.
That's fine.
God bless you. God bless you. Huh? Another one? If you have my answers, please, can you come forward? If you have answers, can you come forward? God bless you.
God called Abraham because he was the father of Israel. God saved me because he loves me. And why am I not dead? It's because he has me here for a certain reason. I was dead twice last year, and he kept me around for some purpose, and that's what I'm here for. And I'm born again because he wrote me in the Lamb's Book of Life.
God bless you. Another one. If you have an answer.
Yeah, it's with Abraham.
Why did God call Abraham?
He called Abraham because he knew Abraham's heart. He knew he could trust Abraham for what he had to give to the Israelites. He needed somebody that would stand up and follow him in the way he wants to be followed. And
why did God save you?
He saved me. Well, yeah, because he loves me and he's got a plan. And I'm a part of that plan. I'm a part of him. I'm part of his body. And
why are you not dead?
Why am I not dead? Because of that. Because I do have I am part of that plan, and he's not finished with me yet. There's things I have to do yet.
So billions are not saved. Why are you born again?
Because I choose Jesus Christ.
God bless you. You're welcome.
So do you know who Abraham is?
Yes.
Okay. Why did God call Abraham?
He trusts in him, and he can call every one of us when we give him heart, and when we accept this God, because he died for us. He shed his blood. He shed her blood. I'm sorry about my language. He shed her blood for us, his blood for us. And then we can be everybody like Abraham when we just give heart to him. And he can save everybody, us.
So why did God save you?
Because I accept Jesus Christ, and he saved my daughter when she have to be die, when the doctor says she be die, and she not. Thank you, Jesus.
That's right. why are you not dead?
Because I accept Jesus Christ and he raised us. Because God raised Jesus from the dead, he can raise everyone. Just accept him and believe in him from all your heart.
Okay, billions of people are not saved, born again. Why are you born again?
I accept Jesus Christ.
Okay.
He is the Lord. He died for us. Amen. And thank you, God. After 1.5 years, I just accepted Jesus. And about this good pastor, almost I know the Bible. And I believe you guys, when you give the heart for him, you can know everything. Because he's in you. And you know how much I scared when I use these things to talking. And he's in me. And he talking, I'm not.
Amen.
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 God bless you, sister. Uh-huh. If you have any answer. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? Come on, come on. Come on, little apostle. Jackson.
I can't answer one of the questions.
Okay, which one?
Why we're not dead?
Why are you not dead?
Because I accepted Jesus and God died for us and took away our sins.
Amen. All right. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? Come on. Everybody can give a shot. So why did God call Abraham? Do you know who Abraham is?
Mm-hmm.
Why did God call Abraham?
I think he called Abraham because Abraham's heart, and Abraham would listen, and he knew Abraham would be faithful.
Amen. Good. And why did God save you?
Because I believe in Jesus, because I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.
Okay. Why are you not dead?
Why am I not dead? I don't think I'm dead because, like I said, I accept Jesus Christ in my life, and God has a purpose for me.
Okay.
And I think that's why I'm not dead.
And so billions of people are not born again. Why are you born again?
Because I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior.
Okay. Good. God bless you. All right. Come on. Come on. I'm just giving you about 2 more minutes here. Come on. Anybody else? Anybody? Okay, I want to answer questions as far as I feel it. Why did God call Abraham? Because he wanted to bless all the families of the earth, and God works through people. And so God chose Abraham. God had a purpose for him, a plan for his life. He wanted to bless all the nations of the earth, and he chose one man to do it through. Why did God save me? For the same reason. He has a purpose. He has a plan. He chose me to reach people. It's not just about saving me. It's about God has a plan to reach the whole world, and I'm going to be part of that plan. And God has a specific purpose. Why am I not dead? Because I have not fulfilled that purpose. Or should I say purpose? Billions are not born again. Why am I born again? Yes, of course. The only way to get born again is to accept Christ. But why am I born again? Because many are called, but few are chosen. And God chose me, and he orchestrated the events of my life. God goes after every single person. Titus 2:11, it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. God is, in 2 Peter chapter 3, I believe it's verse 9, he says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And 1 Timothy chapter 2, I think, and it's about verse 5, I think, where it says that Jesus is the Savior of all men, especially to them that believe. God has a purpose, and God brought people into my life, worked circumstances out in my heart, and brought me to salvation, But the whole reason that I'm born again is because God has a purpose. God works through people to reach other people. God wants to save this world, every soul on the planet. And that's why I'm born again. That's why I'm not dead. That's why God saved me, and that's why God called Abraham.
God bless you. Hallelujah. God bless you. I thank you for all your answers.
So, Steve, why did God call Abraham?
Yeah, I'm going to answer them. But I appreciate all your answers, and all your answers are right. The question number one was, why God called Abraham? Can you turn with me in Genesis chapter 12? We are going to read from verse 1 to 4. Genesis chapter 12, from verse 1 to 4. Genesis chapter 12, from verse 1 to 4. Can you read for us?
Yes, sir. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran.
God bless you. We have seen here God called Abram and gave us the reasons why he is calling him. Verse 2 it says, and I'll make of thee a great nation. That was point number one, that I'll make a great nation out of you. Two, I'll bless thee. Three, I'll make thy name great. Four, thou shalt be a blessing. Thou shalt be a blessing. And I'll bless them that blesses thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You understand? We see that God called Abraham to make a great nation out of him. From the beginning, God wanted to build up nations or generations out of people. From the beginning, God had that in his mind, to see that he can build up a generation or a nation which fears him. When you see in Genesis, when he created Adam and Eve, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 up to verse 28. Can you read that?
Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, And God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth.
God bless you. Now we have seen here that when God created Adam and Eve, he created them for a purpose. I know that he created them to have a fellowship, but also he wanted to build a nation out of them. That's why he says here, that let them go and multiply. Let them go and fill the earth. Let them go and increase. That means he wanted other nations to come out of Adam. Then Adam didn't fulfill the plan of God. He disobeyed him. He didn't hit the mark. Now, when he didn't hit the mark, now we are seeing that God also came and said, he called Abram. And one of the reasons which we are going to put more emphasis on it is to build a great nation out of Abram. Now, God called him and told him, okay, look here, I'm calling you, get out of the house, the house of your father in your country, so that I take you into the land where I'm going to bless you. But the reason of my calling you is to make a great nation out of you, or to make a great generation out of you. Now, he called Abraham so that he can build up a nation out of him. You understand? Because God, from the beginning, he wanted to make a nations out of people. Godly nations. Remember, God, he wants to have a fellowship with a man. He wants to have relationship with a man. Now, because he wanted to have relations with a man, that's why he went on calling people to build up nations out of their life, so that he can get people to fellowship or to have relationship with them. Now, Abraham was called to make a great nation out of him. Although he wanted to bless him, although he wanted to make his name great, but the main purpose was to have a nation, godly nation, out of Abraham. During the days of Abraham, people, they were there. There was generations. People, they were on earth, but they were ungodly. They were not following the ways of God. They were not respecting God, and they were worshiping a foreign god. For example, even the father of Abraham himself, he had a foreign god. He was not worshiping the true God. Even the father of Abraham, he didn't have a good relationship with our God. Then God decided to call the son so they can build out another nation out of the son, so they can get out another generation out of Abraham, the generation which is going to fear God, the generation which is going to have fellowship with God, the generation which is going to walk into God's way, the generation which is going to respect the creator of heaven and earth. That's why he called him. When you read in Genesis chapter 17, you'll find, let's read there. Genesis chapter 17. I have not answered the other questions, but I think tomorrow I'll handle them. We are reading in Genesis chapter 17, from verse 1. Genesis chapter 17, from verse 1.
And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name should be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God.
You hear? The Bible says here that God appeared to Abraham and told him that, and told him that I'm going to make a covenant between me and thee. I will multiply thee. Because he called him to build up a nation out of him. Now he appeared to him and he's saying that now I want to make a covenant between you and me, and I'm going to multiply you. In other words, I'm going to build up a nation out of you. That's the reason why he changed here even his name, because he was going to be the father of many nations. Now, God was not just seeing Abraham, but God was seeing nations within Abraham. God was not just seeing Abraham, but God was seeing generations of people within Abraham. And he decided to make a covenant between him and even his descendant, or to make a covenant between him and even the generation which was going to come out of Abraham. Then he told him that even your name, that's the reason why he changed even his name and said that you are going to be a father of many nations. He changed even the wife, Sarah, because she was going to be the mother of many nations. Now, here God called Abraham with a purpose of building up, of getting out of him a nations or a generations, which God, which fearing generation, which is going to fear God and walk in his way. Now, from the day of Adam, God started looking for people whom he can call and get out of them nations. He called Adam and Adam failed him. Then he created Adam and Adam failed him. He called Abraham just to build up other nations out of him. Now, even today, God is still doing the same thing. Even today, God is still looking for generations. God is still looking for nations. You understand? God is still looking for nations. Because she has been calling men to build nations, but men, they have been letting him down. They have not done the right thing which God wanted. Some of them they have not even kept the covenant between God and them. Now God is still looking for the people so they can build up nations out of them. Now that's why we are also here. That's why you are not dead, as we shall see tomorrow. That's why you are born again. That's why you are a Christian. We have even Christians who are dead. God saved them. They are born again, but they are dead. Why they are dead? Why are you not dead? Because there's a divine purpose. There's a certain nation which has not come out of you. And because God has not brought out those nations out of you, that's why me and you, we are still living. You understand? Because you are living not because you are so holy before God, not because you are so perfect than anybody. You are not so good than those who passed away. You are born again, not because those who are not born again that God does not love them. He loves them. You are saved, not because he hates those who are not saved. He loves them too. And there's time for them to be saved. even those who passed away, they passed away not because they were sinners. You are living because there's a certain nation which is seated within you. There's a certain nation which God is seeing within you. There's a certain generation which God is seeing within you. And he wants to see that at least you can pull out those nations out of you. The problem which we have, that most people don't ask themselves, why are they living? Some people, they tend to take it for granted that they have to live. Some people, they don't ask themselves, why I'm not admitted into hospital? And moreover, there's a lot of people in hospital. People, they take it for granted they're not supposed to fall sick and go into hospital. You should not take it for granted. There's a divine purpose. There's a reason why you're not dead. There's a reason why you have all parts of your body. There's a reason why you're not in hospital. Because of that reason, then you have to find it out. Now, one of the reasons is those nations seated within you. You understand? Now, when I sit down and I look at your nation, really we need God to build up another generation. When you see how things which is going on within your nation, the way how young people they behave, the way how parents they treat their kids and how the kids are treating the parents. When you see young people, they're not interested in coming in the church and to be involved in the work of God. Therefore, you need the God to come and raise up another generation out of you. You need to let God to pull out those nations within you, those fearing nations who are going to fear God and walk into God's way. If you don't do that, if we don't allow God to come and raise those nations within us, we are going to find out that the future of the church in the United States is in danger. It is in danger. Go into a lot of churches. Young people, they are not in churches. Old people, they are in churches. And those old people, they cannot live another 50 years. Anytime they are going. Some of them, they cannot do what they are supposed to do because they are weak. They are old. Now that means that in the future, the churches are going to be closed out. When there's nobody in the church, no preacher, nobody who can take over the church because everybody is dead. Now, that's why God, he is calling upon you who are seated here. You need to rise up and let God work in you to build up godly generation out of you. You need to permit God and let him do what he wants to do. Don't just come and sit and break the chairs and be a church goer and you just watch what is going on and you go back and you eat your food and you sleep. Rise up and do something. Be part of what God is doing and be involved in each and everything which God wants you to do so that can raise up a generation within you. Because the generations which we are seeing today, the nations which we are seeing today, people, they are, most of them, they are ungodly. They don't mind about God. We have even people who have reached on the point saying that there is not even God. When you hear people when they're talking about telling them about God, say, even God is not there. They don't believe that God is there. If we have such a people into our society, if we have such a people into our generation, then we need God to have mercy on this generation. Now, we cannot just sit down and watch out when people they are going in hell. Moreover, God called us because there's a nation within us. Why God called Abraham? He called him to build up a great nation out of him. Why God saved you? He wants to build up a great nation out of you. Why are you not dead? There's a great nation within you. He does not want you to die with that great nation. That's why he's protecting you. That's why he's feeding you. That's why he's giving you everything which you have. So that you can do what you're supposed to do. I'm not dead. Why? Because there's a nation within me. Now, God is not just seeing me, but he's seeing the nation. He's seeing a generation within me. And he wants to see, that generation to come out of me. Why you are not dead? There's a nation within you. And God is seeing that nation. God is seeing that great nation. He wants it out. That's why you're not dead. That's why when they're burying other people, they're not burying you because there's a nation within you. Now, but the bad thing, also, you are in your comfort zone. You want just to come in the church and say, okay, praise the Lord, God is so good, and you go back home. Praise the Lord, God is so good, and you go back home. You forget that there's nations which are seated within you. Hallelujah. Now, what we have to do is to rise up as the church, as to rise up each one of us so that can put ourselves together and pull out the nations which are within us. God wants to build up a nation within you, godly nation, the nation which is going to walk in the ways of God. The nation which is going to worship God in spirit and truth. The nation which is going to be committed to God. The nation which is going to have a good fellowship with their Creator. A nation which is going to lift up Jesus and let everybody see Him. Because Jesus said that when you lift me up, I will draw many. Now, that means there's somebody who has to lift him up. He cannot lift himself. He needs somebody so that can draw many unto him. Now, you're the person who's supposed to do that. I'm the person who's supposed to do that. But when we just sit and relax in our comfort zone, then we cannot be able to lift up Jesus. Hallelujah. Why Abraham was called? To build up a nation out of him. Why are you saved? There's a nation within you. Why are you not dead? There's a nation within you. Remember, one day when the children of Israel sinned against God, God told Abraham, God told Moses, I'm going to kill all of them. Then I'll get a nation out of you. Then Moses told God, before you kill them, kill me first. Because he knew that if he kills him, then even the nations within him, which God wanted to pull out of him, also the nation will be dead. Now, God could not kill the children of Israel, even he couldn't kill Moses, because there was a generation within him. You are living because there's a generation within you. You are not dead because there's a generation within you. Among your family, you are the only person who is born again because God called you so that can build up a godly generation out of you. There's a generation. There's a nation. We cannot change our nation today unless we allow God to build up and raise up another nation.
Right.
The nation which will fear him. The nation which will understand him.
Right.
You understand? Now, how can you, what can you do in order to build up godly generation within, which is in your life? Number one, commitment. I think I'll stop on that, on commitment. You have to be committed to your God. Let me give you an example. Look at the young men in your nation. They are so committed in what they are doing. So committed, serious. Those who are on drugs, they are so committed into that. Those who are prostitutes, they are so committed in that. Every day, you meet them at the street. Every day, you meet them at the street. Whether it's cold or hot, they'll be there. They are committed. Those who are smoking, they are committed. Those who are killing, they are committed. Those who are doing everything, evil thing, they are so committed. Every day, they have to report on their duty. Every day, they have to fulfill their duty. Although they are not paid, but they have to be there. But when you come in the church, we are not committed. We are not committed. When we come to the church, when we come on the side of the church, that's when we say that we are so busy. That's when you can call even the pastor and say, "Pastor, I won't make it because I'm very, very, very busy." But moreover, those who don't know God, they are so committed into what they are doing. They are expanding their kingdom.
Yep.
They are fulfilling what they are supposed to do. Every day, they are bringing in more people into their society. Prostitutes, they are bringing more girls to become prostitutes. They are marketing what they have. They are marketing their drugs. They are marketing what they are marketing, each and everything. Sit on your television and see. Everybody brings on a program on television, marketing what they have. Even in Africa now, we have television which are marketing guns. So that everybody should have a gun in the house. But you know what is going on here with the people who have got guns? You don't know that. Children are killing themselves with guns. Now they are marketing it in Africa. They are advising each and everybody at least to have a gun. They are advising each and everybody, every family to have at least two guns. What for? Moreover, here they are killing one another. They are so committed in advancing their kingdom. They are so committed in raising up generation. But when we come into the church, we are the people who are not committed. We are not marketing our Jesus. We are not marketing Jesus to people. Now, if we are to make God to raise up generation within us, commitment is number one. We need to be committed to God. We need to be committed to his word. We need to be committed in what he is saying. Imagine in Genesis chapter 12, the Bible says, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country." God had told Abram. That wasn't his first time. That means he had told him before. He had told him to leave the country. But he was not comfortable with it. He had also some questions. Maybe also he had his own farm. He was telling God, how can I leave my farm? He had maybe even his friends. How can I leave my friends? But after God repeating it, then Abram, the Bible says, verse 14, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Then Abraham departed, going not knowing where he was going. But he committed his life into what God told him to do. You understand? He committed his life into what God told him to do. That was a commitment. He put aside mother and the parents and the friends and everything which he had and said, let me go according to what God told me to do. That was a commitment. How far have you gone to make your commitment with your God? Are you committed to God? Are you committed in what you're saying? Commitment. God could bless Abraham into his father's house, into his father's family. He could bless Abraham into that country. But he knew that if he blesses Abraham among that evil generation, he was not going to build up a godly generation out of Abraham when he's in that country. Then he had to pull him out of that country to a land where he is able to build up a generation which fears God. All the people into his country, they are worshiping idols. And he knew that once I leave Abram there, even the generation which is going to come out of Abram is going also to worship idols. Right. Then he had to pull him out of that. Right. But Abram had to be committed. He has also to reach on the point and say, let me commit myself unto my God, then I do what he says. Right. People in the church today, they don't want to make commitments. And when you don't make any commitment with God, then you are stopping God to do what he wants to do. Amen. Because God cannot force you. God cannot force you to do what you don't want. But he wants also your commitment. When you commit to him, then he will be able also to do what he wants to do within you. That's why he's saying that I'm at the door knocking. God is not the devil who comes in and just break in and enter. The devil does not knock. The devil does not ask for permission. He just come in. Whether you like it or not, he will just come in. He will just come and hit the door and he gets in. But God cannot just come and hit the door. He has to knock. Begging you, please, are you allowing me to come in? Now, when you say no, don't come in, he will walk away. If you say, okay, I'm opening up, then he will come. Now, when he comes, that's when he will be able to start doing what he wants to do within your life. Now, commitment is number one. People, they don't want to make commitments on the side of God. But in other things, we are making commitments. All of you, most of you have jobs. You cannot do the job which you are doing unless you have committed yourself into it. Right. You are on that job because of a commitment. You made a commitment and say, I'm going to be here at 8 a.m. I'll be here. I'll work for 5 hours or 10 hours. You have to keep your time. You are committed into it. You are committed. That's why you are into that job for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, up to now, because you are keeping that commitment. Now, even God is requesting for our commitments. We need to be committed. And you say, God, here we are. Yeah, we have realized that you called us because there's a nation within us. But we don't know how we can pull out those nations out of us except to you. Now we are committing ourselves to you. Commit yourself. Commitment is number one. Without commitment, even God cannot do what he wants to do. All the men into the Bible, they committed themselves to God. Moses committed himself to God. Going back to Egypt, and remember he ran away from Egypt. Now he's going back there, that was commitment. Abraham leaving his father, that was commitment. Even Jesus himself, he committed himself to God and said, okay, let me leave all the glory and the honor and even the angel worshiping me. Let me go down there on earth and start looking for people to bring them back to you. That was a commitment. Yep. Now we need to commit ourselves to God. I know you love God. But you can hear even 100 or so people that are saying that we love God when they are not committed to him. Oh, God is so good. In Uganda, people that when you are seated somewhere in certain group and you talk about God, everybody will mention about God. God is good. You know God is good. When you talk about Jesus, then they rise against you. Talk about God, everybody will join you. God is good. God is so good. Yeah, God is good. But when you start lifting up Jesus, they say, hey, you, we don't want you with your Jesus. Can you keep quiet? That's when they turn against you once you start talking about Jesus. Because there's a spirit within them which does not want to listen or to hear that name Jesus. That's why they have to defend it. They have to attack you so that you cannot go on talking about Jesus. Now, people, they love God, but they're not committed to him. They talk about God, but they're not committed to him. We have people who are Christians because they grew up in Christian family. We have people who come in the church because they grew up coming in the church. But they're not committed to God. They are not committed to what he's saying. They are not committed to his word. Now, when we want God to build up nations within our life, or when we want God to pull out those nations within us, we need to make commitment. Without commitment, God can do nothing. That's why you are born again. Other people, they are not born again. Some of them, they had the gospel. People, they have preached to them the gospel, but they don't want to make any commitment. And that from today, I'm following Jesus Christ. From today, I'm giving my life to Christ. From today, I'm welcoming Christ within my life. They don't want to do that commitment. Now, even in the church, we have people who do not want to do any commitment. When you tell them, please, can you serve God? Can you do something for God? You know, Pastor, I'm busy. I don't want to make any commitment. I don't know if you have ever had them. Huh? I don't want to make any commitment. I don't want to make any commitment. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm good, but I don't want to make any commitment. Now, why are you afraid to make any commitment to your God? He is your creator. Why don't you make a commitment? Why are you afraid of making a commitment? That means there's something behind there. There's a hidden agenda. Why you don't want to make a commitment to your God? There's a hidden agenda. There's something which you are hiding. Why? If really you love God, if really you love him with all your heart, if you know that he is your creator, if you know that he's the one who saved you, if you know that he's the one who has given you the gift of life, if you know that without him you can't be there, then why don't you make a commitment? Why don't you make a commitment? Now, if you don't want to make a commitment, there's something. There's a hidden agenda. When you make a commitment, then God will start doing what he wants to do in your life. Let me say, let's think about this. If God called Abraham, And Abraham did not make any commitment to do what God told him, and decided to do to stay at his father's house or in his country. Do you think we would talk about Abraham? We wouldn't. We wouldn't even see what God did through Abraham. But we are talking about Abraham. We are seeing what God did within Abraham because of the commitment which he made. Right. We are not going to see the nations within you until you make a commitment. You are not going to see how God wants to use you to flow within you until you make a commitment. You are not going to see how God is big and powerful until you make a commitment. Right. You never experience the presence of God in His fullness until you make a commitment. Right. You will never enjoy the relationship of God until you make a commitment. When you don't make a commitment, then you are stopping God from doing what He wants to do.
Right.
When you don't make a commitment, you are stopping God from revealing Himself to you. If you don't make a commitment, you are stopping God from doing a work within your life. If you don't make a commitment, you are stopping God from building up nations within you.
Amen.
He needs your commitment. That's why I'm here, to tell you that God is calling upon you to make a commitment. Go and think about that. Before Sunday, sit down and say, either I'm making a commitment to God or not. Some of you are seated here. That's what I feel in my heart. Some of you, there's certain things which God has been speaking to you, speaking within your spirit. But sometimes it's okay, I'll do it next time. I'll do it next time. Oh, God, I'm so busy. Let me tell you, every day, every day, every day, the devil will make you busy.
Yep.
The devil will make you busy. Year to year, you are going to be busy. Now, if there's something which the Lord told you to do, you better do it. Because when you do it, you benefit. When you reject it, you benefit on the other side. Because God will just watch over you and say, okay, you have not permitted me, but the devil will come into you. The devil will come in. The devil won't request you. He will just kick you the door and enter. Now, think about making commitment. You are not dead yet because there's a generation. And that generation come out of you, commitment is needed. You were born again because there's a generation. That generation come out of you, commitment. Abraham was called by God because he wanted to make out of him a great generation. God to do that, that's why we are seeing the nation of Israel, because Abraham committed himself to God. When you don't commit yourself to God, you are stopping the nations, and you will never see those nations which are seated within you. Commitment is number one. Without commitment, you cannot make it. Without commitment, those nations are going to stay within you. You're not going to fulfill what God wants you to do. Commitment. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for your word this night, Lord. I ask the Holy Spirit, dear Spirit of God, come down. Speak to your people. Father, touch their hearts. Let them decide to make commitments. Most of people, they are afraid of making commitments, my God. But they are committed into other things, Lord. Sometimes we are committed even to the things which is ungodly. Sometimes we are committed to things which are destroying our life. But when we come on your side, Lord, we fear to make any commitment. Therefore, Lord, I'm praying, Lord, for your people. That before the end of this week, my God, let them decide to make commitments. Because we need a new generation for our nations, Lord. And those generations are seated within us, Father. But those generations cannot come out unless we commit ourselves to you. Father, I'm praying in Jesus' name, raise your grace upon your people. Let them be committed. Father, United States needs another generation. It needs another generation, God-fearing generation. And those nations are seated within these people here. Let your grace and your spirit raise it, my Father. Father, I want to thank you because you have done it. And I know tomorrow we are going deeper and deeper into that, my God. I want to thank you because you have done it. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
All we want is you. Tell me, know you are.